Sick, and we're glad that she's out today. And good to see others who are visiting that we haven't seen in a long time. And good to see you with us as well. Let's bow together and ask God's blessing upon our service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pause right now. We thank you for everything you do. We thank you for how you bless and how you watch over us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for this service right now. Lord, you know the hearts, you know needs. And Lord, just asking for your will to be done here today. Lord, we just ask if there's one lost today, that they might realize that. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling today with trials. Maybe they feel like they're in a low valley today. Lord, I pray that through your word, you'll strengthen us. And Lord, help us to just continue on for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This message is probably Jim Smith's idea, whether he knows it or not. I'm not going to preach on Jim Smith, but we were goofing off Wednesday night before church, and I told him, I said about one kid, I said, I know one thing they need. And Jim said, I know one thing too. And we went on like that, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of one things in the Bible. There are. There's a lot of one things. One thing's needful. One thing we're lacking. So I thought, you know, from Wednesday night till today, I began to just look through the Bible that talked about one thing. And I was reminded, this is a horrible illustration, but I'm going to admit something to you. Who's ever seen the movie City Slickers? Three people admit it. Alright. In that movie, there was an old rough cowboy. His name was what? Curly. Don't you remember Curly? And they said, he always said what? One thing. And they said, what's the one thing? They said, he said, when you know it, when you find the one thing, you'll have all you need to have. So I'm going to talk about one thing today. You say, well, it's Jesus to sing a song and go home. It's more than that. It is more than that. And I want you to see scripturally how sometimes we get our lives so out of whack that we just need one thing to get it back in tune. So go with me, first of all, to the book of Luke, the 10th chapter. The book of Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to run around today. That's why I didn't start with just a text verse. I'm going to show you four places, and there's like 500 of them if you want to look. But in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, we got an awesome story. And I want you to read it with me. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. Everybody there? Alright. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she said, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, you can always tell if it's not going to be a good answer. If somebody has to name your name twice. In my case, as a kid growing up, if I ever heard Stephen DeWayne, it was never good. And here Jesus says, Martha, Martha. That means you need to listen to this. This is good, Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. I underline that. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. When you read that scripture, you read that story to me is so fitting because the Bible said Martha or Mary was cumbered about. Who knows what that means, cumbered about? I like the word overwhelmed. I looked it up in a dictionary and the dictionary gave a lot of different answers, but then it said overwhelmed. You ever been overwhelmed? Now let me say this to church people. You that work a lot in the church, have you ever been overwhelmed? She was overwhelmed with with what? The Bible said much serving. She wasn't overwhelmed with things of the world. She was overwhelmed with things of God. She was overwhelmed with serving Jesus. She was overwhelmed with trying to get everything together. Can I tell you something? Sometimes church people get overwhelmed with church life and church work that they're missing one important thing. And Jesus told Martha that there was one thing needful. And he said it this way. He said, Mary has chosen what? That good part which shall what? That phrase stuck with me all this week as I studied from Wednesday till this morning. You mean to tell me that I can serve the Lord and some of that won't make it to heaven? That's right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's some things we can do. We can be so busy doing that we're not doing the right stuff. And so he stopped Martha. And can you hear banging pots? Come on, ladies. You ladies ever been working and there's other people in the house that could be helping? Husbands. And they're banging. And you're like I can't hear you in there. We're the only two brother here, apparently. I could hear her banging pots. And finally, she got tired of banging pots and she just walked on in, Bobby. And she said to Jesus, now y'all with me? She said to Jesus, don't you care? Amanda, I'm not saying that to Jesus, okay? I've been mad and upset, but I'm not going to say, Jesus, don't you care? But she's not helping. I think he pointed. Make sure Jesus knew. And then we got the Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. You're busy with lots of things. You know what? You're troubled, Martha, about things you shouldn't be troubled about. You got the cart before the horse in your life, Martha. Let me tell you what you really need. Y'all ready? You need some Jesus time. Oh, people need time to go sit by a creek. No, you need Jesus time. I used to visit Jim 20 years ago. I'd pull in this driveway and I could hear Beethoven. Does he look like a Beethoven guy? I would hear Beethoven loud, and Sandy would say, Jim's got a migraine headache. And he's playing the music. That music would have gave me a headache. But he listened to that and it soothed him, am I right? That was what you said, it soothes me. Everybody needs soothing today. Let me tell you what you need. You need some Jesus time. People don't, preacher, I ain't got time. I'm doing the church work. I've got to get this done and that done, this visit, that visit, and I got to go there. I don't have time for that. That's exactly what Martha was saying. But you know what? Jesus said, you better take time for this. You need Jesus time. Now let me help you, okay? Jesus time doesn't mean stay at home and not go to church. I got to throw that out there. You know what? Preacher, tonight, really, I'm just going to do some Jesus and Steve time. That's not going to fly with him, okay? He wants you at church. He said that. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the singers. It's about you and him, and this is what he asked you to do. Did you hear the song that Gina sung? He will make this trial a blessing. Why? That the whole wide world will see. As long as you and I stay excluded from the world, the world can't see that you and I struggle. Listen, how many struggle? Five people. Seven. Nobody in the back struggles. Y'all need to sit in the back where the holy section is. I mean, there's like a halo back there, hangs over there. It's more spiritual today, Terry, because you're back there. Amen. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. You've got to take time to be with the Lord. Now, you need to pick it in the morning. You need to pick it at night. You need to pick it in the middle of the day. But you need some Jesus time. And I want you to understand something. Jesus' time is the best time. That's the time that you and Him can communicate and talk. And listen, He wants to hear your troubles. There's a song, I think it's in the blue book right there, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus Makes It Right." I believe it. Sometimes I get frustrated, and I hate to say, I don't say names, Rochelle. But you know what? I'm learning to take frustrations to the Lord. Tell Him all about my troubles. Oh, preacher, really? I'm telling you, really. Tell Him. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what's going on. Well, preacher, He already knows. I know He knows. But He wants you to talk to Him about it. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. What did she do? She just listened. You know, there's a scripture in the Psalms that I go over and over in my mind and think about. It says, "Be still." And what? You know the hardest thing for me to do, y'all be shocked at this, is be still. I mean, I just feel like I'm a caged cat. And the hardest thing to do is get still. But realistically, the best time in your life is when you're just calm and still with God.
Amen.
You might need to go by the creek to get still. I'm not saying that's not a good idea, but I'm telling you this. You've got to have Jesus' time. You know what He said? He said it's needful. Y'all catch that? One thing He said was what? Needful. You can't get enough God.
Amen.
You need Him. We're so busy being independent Baptists that we forget to be dependent Baptists.
Yeah.
Right? Come on. Oh, what kind of Baptists are we? Independent. And sometimes we act like that. We don't even invite God to anything. We're going to do food tomorrow. We do it with God. We're going to bring youth in here. We're going to do it with God. We're going to sing a special. We're going to do it with God. Whatever we do, we want God involved in it because we're dependent Baptists. We need Him because He said it's needful. Now, let me show you number two. Go with me to Philippians 3. This one right here is what gets your preacher. You know, I do not have trouble having Jesus' time. I learned a long time ago. I went through a time in my ministry. I turned 30 years old, and I was living away from home and in another state. And I was preaching about 5 or 6 times a Sunday. We had a campground ministry. I had a radio broadcast, and we had lots of things going on. Let me tell you what happened to me. I literally began to take the whole week to make sermons, and I didn't have any Jesus time. And I had an older preacher. He's dead now, but he pulled me to the side. And I came home for a visit, and he said, "Let me tell you what your problem is." He said, "You're not feeding yourself."
Yeah.
He said, "If you don't eat, they won't eat."
Right. Amen.
And he told me this phrase. He said, "Read and feed." That's the hardest thing for me to do, Angie. I just want to read and get a sermon because I needed 6 sermons this week. But he said, "Read and feed. What you read may not even be a sermon. Just read and feed."
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, you know what? That's been the best thing in my life. Sometimes it's Sunday morning, still working on a sermon, but I've not neglected my reading and my feeding.
Yeah.
You got to eat. You need it. It's needful. Now here's the one that gets me though. I read and feed. I don't have no trouble. But go with me to Philippians 3. Let me show you Brother Steve's trouble. Brethren, verse 13. I count not myself to what? Apprehended. In other words, I've not seized what I'm supposed to have yet. I'm not full grown. I'm not where I want to be. But Paul was talking about a rapture. And Paul said, "I haven't been raptured yet. I haven't apprehended. I haven't seized that rapture." I tell you all, folks, something. Every day I look forward to the rapture.
Amen. That's right.
I hear people saying, Well, you know, I hope Jesus don't come right now. I'm going, you crazy? Are you crazy? You don't want Jesus to come yet? I'm like, can you imagine the greatest thing that can happen in my life right now is Jesus come. I can't think of one thing that could top that. I mean, He takes away from health problems. He takes me away from financial problems. He takes me from a cruel world where people hate. He takes me from a world where people are starving to death. He takes me with Him. You tell me that you're not ready for that. But here's the problem that I have. But this one thing I do. You ready? This is Paul. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's my problem right there. I've done some things 32 years ago that I can't get away from. I think about them. I worry over them. I fret over them. Paul said, this one thing I do, if I'm going to go forward in the Christian life and I'm going to be ready to stand before Almighty God, I forget those things which are behind. Do you know that people sitting in this building today are still living in the past? Sins? Things you did? Things you won't forgive yourself for? You know, it's not that God won't forgive you. What won't God forgive you for? He forgives you everything. So where's the problem? The problem is forgiving ourselves. You know what Paul did for a living before he got saved? This would be a perfect place. He come in. He finds some people worshiping God and singing. He'd arrest them. If he could catch them in the right thing, claiming that Jesus was God's Son, he would have them killed. That was against the law. You understand? Against the law. If you said Jesus, the Son of God, dead. His job was killing Christians. But guess what? He got saved. And he said one time, Christ came to forgive sinners, in whom I'm chief. I always tell everybody he was a Geronimo of sinners. Now, that guy killed Custer. He was a Geronimo of sinners. But then I read this. This one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. Brother Richard, I think I would hear screams of Christians in my head. But somehow in his life, he got to the place that that was not who I was. I got saved from that. I've been forgiven for that. And now I've got to forget that. Can I ask you a question without raising your hand this morning? Is there things in your life right now that you're struggling forgetting? Can I tell you this? You will never go forward for God. You'll never be used for God like you could be as long as you drag that with you.
Amen. That's right.
I've seen people go to altars and try to leave it at the altar only to pick it back up and take it to the seat with them. Folks, we all got stuff in our life. There's probably none of us in this building could run for public office. They tell me that if you're going to run for public office, there's a company you can hire that will try to find the skeletons in your closet. Who wants to join up? Anybody raise your hand. Who wants to be first? Let them come through your life and find out if there's anything bad there. Not me. But you know what Paul did? Forget those things which are behind. Wasn't about, listen, you think people forgot? Y'all imagine if you will. I got two more points, but remember this. Paul got saved. His first visit was up to Jerusalem where he had arrested people. James, John, those guys were standing there. And in comes Barnabas with Paul. Last time they saw Paul, he came in and caused havoc upon the church and scattered everybody everywhere. Now Paul walks up and says, guess what, guys? I'm saved. Y'all want to go home with me today? Or who am I going home with? What do you think everybody did? They're reaching for the concealed carry, wasn't they? I mean, everybody kind of took one step back. You know, that's great, Paul. We're happy for you and we're praying for you. One eye open. You think they trusted him? Absolutely not. The Bible says they didn't. That didn't change the fact. Paul said, I forget those things.
Right.
See, people may not forget what you did, but you've got to forget it.
Amen.
If you're going to go forward. Number three, go to Mark 10. Mark 10. This one thing he said, one thing. Mark 10, verse 17. This would have been probably the perfect one for the first one. But usually if you talk about being saved, everybody just turns their... Well, this is going to be a salvation message. This won't be for me today. So they already closed their Bible and like, you'll learn that, Bobby. Salvation, got it. Don't need it anymore. Covered there. Let him preach to those people. I'll just chill for about 20 minutes. Look at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what should I do that I might what? I wish there was a way. I wish there were words I could say to get people to understand that heaven is something you can't inherit. You know, some of the biggest religions of the world are inherited faith. I tell people a lot of times, so-and-so believes this because of their culture. When I was in Belize, they had a religion in that country that was cultural. Catholicism was the religion of Belize. And 90% of people in Belize were Catholicism because that's what mom and dad was, that's what granny and grandpa was. Y'all going to be shocked when I say this. There's cultural Baptists as well. I'm a Baptist because my granny was a Baptist. Mom and dad are Baptists. And their grandma and grandpa were Baptists too. How many of you come from a long line of Baptists? Raise your hand. Now if we're not careful, we become cultural Baptists. And we think because of that, we'll get to heaven. So I'm going to share something with you that Jesus shared. First of all, you'll never be rich enough to inherit heaven or never be poor enough to get it either. So we live in a society, if you're rich, you can get things. And listen, if you're poor, you can get some stuff too. If you're in the middle, you're in trouble. Just hang on. So here's what happens. This rich young man comes to Jesus, says, what do I do to inherit eternal life? I tell you, he's rich because he inherited riches. I think this boy's loaded, not because he's a good businessman, but because somebody in his life had money and they left it to him. He knows about inheriting things. Now, Dad, don't get me wrong. I want to inherit some stuff, so get Mommy to slow down. You see that bumper sticker, I'm spending my kids' inheritance? Slow down. So here he is. Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. You know what Jesus did? Jesus knew this guy. Because Jesus could look, according to John 2, and he knows the heart of man. Jesus knew this guy never killed nobody. He knew he never stole nothing. I mean, if I could ask those two questions in this building, have you ever killed anybody, ever stole something? And I don't think there's people here who's never done either one of those things. There's people who's never took a drink of alcohol in their life. Sitting in this building, I promise you. Jesus named some things he knew he could do. And had done. So look at this. He answered and said, verse 20, unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from... Let me ask you something. How's he feeling right now? You think he's feeling pretty cool? This is looking good for me right now because not killed anybody, not stole nothing. Love mom and dad. Everybody's good. I'm good. Fixing to get me an eternal home in heaven. Verse 21. And Jesus behold him, loved him. I think that's the key phrase of this next statement.
Amen.
What I'm about to tell you, young man, I'm going to tell you because I love you. See, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, have eternal life. I want you to know, son, that I love you. Well, I'm going to tell you, because I love you. And look what He says. One thing thou lackest. Just one? One thing. You mean to tell me you can have everything but lack one? That's what I'm trying to tell y'all this morning. Your mama could be a Baptist, your daddy a Baptist, grand-grandpa a Baptist. You can walk through the cemetery, see all the Baptists. You can be Baptist. You cannot kill, steal, or drink. You can love mom and daddy. But you can lack one thing and not go to heaven. I think this is really worth noting. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and what? And he was sad at that saying. Why was he sad? What did it say? For he had great possessions. I like the word whatsoever. English dictionary says whatsoever means this. Beyond measure. So when Jesus says to him, Wendy, you give up whatsoever, he understood beyond measure. I got to give up everything to get heaven. Yo, that's right. You preacher, you say I don't have, come just as I am. Just as I am, you come. Let me tell you what's going to happen when you come. You got to give him your life. That's everything. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to give up all the trying, you've got to give up all your effort, and you've got to say, here it is. If I get to heaven, it's because you get me there. It's all yours. Whatever it is. My business, my kids, my house, my car, my talents. You know, I'm used to singing in bars, but Lord, if you want me to sing in church, I'll sing in church. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm here, I'm yours, I want you to have my life. Here it is. Can I tell you something? If you've never done that in your life, you're lacking one thing. And that one thing will end you up in hell today. You say, really, preacher, God wants my life? When you ask Him to save you, you've got to give Him your life. Your life. Now, here's where the struggle starts. You that are saved, tell me if I'm wrong. After I get saved, and at the altar, Joe, I gave him my life. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I was 12 years old. I can tell you, I did not want to go to hell. I'd have done anything. If the preacher said, jump a pew, I'd have jumped a pew. I did not want to go to hell. I was at his guidance. I said, tell me what I'm going to do. I do not want to go to hell. He showed me the Bible. You confess. You ask Him to save you. I did that. Can I tell you something? From that day forward, a battle started in my life. Because that night, I tried to do what I wanted to do. And all of a sudden, God just like kicked me right in the chest. He said, Steve, you can't do that. I got up the next morning, Irma, and I thought, I'll show God I can do this. See, I was a good cusser. I cussed at the right time, at the right things. And guess what I tried to do when I got saved? I tried to cuss. That didn't work at all. I felt so sick to my stomach. Before I was worried about mama, but now it's worse. It was like God was like right there. Like, how did He hear that? I didn't understand about living in me and all that kind of stuff. I just knew that now I felt sick to my stomach. Now, am I lying or am I telling the truth? How many of you, since you've been saved, gave your life to the Lord, when you do wrong, you feel sick? Let me tell you all a secret. If you're doing wrong and you don't feel sick, you don't need to come on to the invitation and get saved. Because God moved in. He's trying to make room for Him and you. And when He's making room, there's tight quarters in here. Because I like what I like. And God says, you can't like that no more though. And I'm, well, I like it. Well, you ain't going to like it long. And so the fight starts. And over and over in my life for the last 37 years, it's been a fight. But I can tell you this. If you're lacking that one thing today, you need to get that.
Amen.
You're not going to inherit this. You won't be good enough to get it. He was good. He was good, but Jesus said you lack one thing. What was the one thing? He said, well, preacher just wanted the money. No, he didn't. He wanted Him. I'm going to tell you a secret, I think. I think if he'd have gave God everything, God would probably triple what He had. He'll never know that, though, will he? Lot gave you everything, didn't he, Calvin? Lot lost everything, but wanted to get back. Read the book. You give it to God and say, God, I'm yours. If I got to go through this trial, I'll go through it. Whatever happens, it's yours. And Lord, guess what? God blessed him. Because he gave it to him. That's the best. Listen, there's not a bank in this county that'll give you that kind of interest. But you've got to give him your life first. Here's the last one. We're done. John 9:25. I had to do one more. I had like six more, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to give one more. And you're going to say, well, that goes with the last one. It kind of does, but it kind of don't. John 9. Let me just cut to the chase. There's a man that was blind. And Jesus said he's been blind from his birth. And the disciples said, what did he do to make himself blind? And Jesus said, you do nothing. Sin didn't make him blind. He's blind because he needed to be blind. And he was blind that way. A lot of people have physical problems and they want to know why. You don't need to know why. It's just God's in control. And this is what you got. Well, this blindness was kind of a picture of something. And Jesus told him after he healed him, don't tell anybody. You don't have to tell nobody. Let me tell you something. If you're blind today, and 5 minutes later you're not blind, when it's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious. That guy's not blind anymore. And people begin to question him. You mean, how come he's not blind? He's been blind since he was a kid. Verse 23. So they start coming to the parents. What's going on with the kid? Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. I like that. Mom ain't never done that yet, but I'll be 50 this year. Maybe this is the year. Ask him, he's old enough. I kind of like having mom to cover for me, though. It's good. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. See, this blind kid going around telling everybody that Jesus, the Son of God, healed him. And they said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't give Jesus any praise. Give it all to God because Jesus is a sinner. Y'all ready? Verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, I like that one thing. One thing I know, that wherein I was blind, what? Listen, I'm just going to get right down to the nitty gritty with you, Pulaski County, Kentucky boy. I can't explain theologically what took place when I got saved. I can tell you in Indianapolis, Indiana, I was sitting about where Brother Wendell Carell was sitting, and I came forward an invitation, And I came right here. My best friend followed me. And he said that where Patty's sitting. And his daddy was the pastor. And I told him, I was a church member and I'd been baptized and I'd done all that stuff. And I said, Brother Bill, I know I'm going to hell and I don't want to go to hell. He's really crippled up, man. He had muscular dystrophy and he kind of crippled up and he got down with his knees like this, could barely get down. He got down there with me right here. And he said, you know what you got to do? And I said, I know. He said, well, he went over one more time. You know you got to confess. You know you got to tell him you're a sinner. And I know I got to do it. I just want to do it right now and get it fixed. And right there, I asked Jesus to save me. Now, Wendy, I can't explain it theologically what took place. But I can tell you what happened. I felt so good. I stood up and it felt like 1,000 pounds just dumped off me. And if it wasn't unbaptistical, I think I could have run the building, Bobby. I mean, I felt good. Good, I felt so good. Well, tell us what happened. I can't tell you, but I was going to hell, now I'm not. That's what I can tell you. Do you know that one thing? I can't tell you how this world's going to turn out. I can't tell you what it's going to take to fix this or that. I don't know how the next trips will take. I don't know how the mission trip to Belize is going to go. But I can tell you this. I used to be lost, but now I'm saved. I used to be going to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. Can I ask you something today? Do you know that one thing? If you know that one thing, it'll help you with the other things. But if you don't know that one thing, you better get to know that one thing. Because without that one thing, you can't have it through the trials of life. You can't make it through everything unless you know that one thing.
That's right.
Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us. Lord, I pray right now, as we enter into this invitation, Lord, that your will would be done in this place. Lord, I don't know the needs here. There could be one thing needful. There could be one thing that I need to do and forget the past, Lord. But Lord, I pray for that one that's lacking today. Lord, I pray for that one that don't know for sure. That blind young man knew that once he was blind, but now he could see. Lord, I think salvation is just like that. I was going to heaven, now I'm going to heaven. That one thing I know. Lord, I pray that you will help those today who didn't need for that one thing. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing a verse.